translation. Sukadev Goswami said, "My dear King Parikshit, all the kings of the dynasty of Mithila were completely in knowledge of their spiritual identity. Therefore, even though staying at home, they were liberated from the duality of material existence." Srila Prabhupada ki. The purport by Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada. "This material world is called Dvaita or duality. The Chaitanya Charitamrita Anchya Lila 4.176 says, Dvaita badra badra jnana sabha mano dharma e bala e manda e sabha brahma. In the world of duality, that is to say in the material world, so-called goodness and badness are both the same. Therefore, in this world, to distinguish between good and bad, happiness and distress is meaningless because they're both mental concoctions, monodharma. Because everything here is miserable and troublesome, to create an artificial situation and pretend it to be full of happiness is simply illusion. The liberated person, being above the influence of the three modes of material nature, is unaffected by such dualities in all circumstances. He remains Krishna conscious by tolerating so-called happiness and distress. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Matrasparsa tukunteya sitoshna sukha dukada agampayino nityastam titiksasva bharata. O son of Kunti, the non-permanent appearance and of happiness and distress and the disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of winter and summer seasons. They arise from sense perception, O Siyano Bharat. One must learn to tolerate them without being disturbed. Those who are liberated, being on the transcendental platform of rendering service to the Lord, do not care about so-called happiness and distress. They know that these are like changing seasons, which are perceivable by contact with the material body. Happiness and distress come and go. Therefore, a pundit, a learned man, is not concerned with them. As it is said, Gatasun agatasums cha na na so chanti pandita. The body is dead from the very beginning because it is a lump of matter. It has no feelings of happiness and distress. Because the soul within the body is in the bodily concept of life, he suffers happiness and distress. But these come and go. It is understood herewith that the kings born in dynasty of Mithila were all liberated persons, unaffected by the so-called happiness and distress of this world. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 9th canto, 13th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Dynasty of Maharaj Nimi. Sukadev Goswami said, "My dear," so translation, "My dear King Parikshit, all the kings of the dynasty of Mithila were completely in knowledge of their spiritual identity. Therefore, even though staying at home, they were liberated from the duality of material existence." So say some prayers. I need my prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksuran Militam Yena Tasme Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padayam Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paschatyade Satarine Vancha Kaupata Rubyascha Kripa Sindhu Bayevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. I see this as an opportunity to obviously self-purification as well as serve the Vaishnavas by saying something. Bhagavatam is such that it's always, as long as it's not contaminated by someone's Mayavad ideas or just crazy ideas, and it's Krishna conscious, then it's beneficial for everyone. It's like I've heard one example, the deities are always beautiful. They may be dressed in different ways. You may like a certain dress, you may like a certain speaker, but the message of Bhagavatam is always purifying. Hopefully I don't get in the way, and the Bhagavatam can speak for itself. I once asked my spiritual master, His Holiness Kadambakanana Maharaj, that should I read more about the distress of the material world, or should I read more about the beauty of Krishna? And he says, you don't need to do the calculations, simply go through the pages of the Bhagavatam, and it will take you through everything, through the horror stories, through the beauty of Krishna, the glorification of the devotees. And so let's see if I can say something. It is Ekadasi today, but there will be waffle on the menu. Cheesy waffle. So I wanted to talk a little bit about tolerance. I picked up tolerance from there. To be fair, I don't know so much about the pastimes, but I picked up what the essence was. I thought what the essence was of that verse, which was about duality of the material world and tolerating. The stories I don't know so well, the pastimes and such. Once Nandan Prabhu was speaking to Kadambakanana Maharaj and says, Guru Das is generally giving lots of classes, you know, to the guest and stuff, but when he speaks Bhagavatam, he's generally quite, you know, timid and shy, and once had a nervous breakdown, and Maharaj said something quite nice. He was, no, Guru Das is very respectful of the Bhagavatam. He realizes he doesn't know so much. So spiritual master was very kind. So let's do one thing. Since we're talking about tolerance, let's imagine a garland, and this garland is the verse that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has spoke, and imagine placing that on yourself and keeping that. A little exercise. Everybody imagine a nice garland, and with there's all the words there. Trinadapi suni chena taro yavi sahisnuna amanina manadena kirtanya sadahari. So this is the garland we should, as devotees, we should ornament ourselves with. We should have this garland round our neck all the time. And ultimately it's for our own happiness. I want to paint a few pictures today. I thought that since I do waffle on, but one thing I can do is paint a few pictures. So I'll just take you a little through what I want to paint. I might as well tell you now what I want to do. I want to paint a little picture of how the material world's not a good place. Yeah, I won't go on, but I can give long lectures on material world. And then I want to also talk about then why we need some difficulties, why it's good for us to go through having to tolerate. Then I maybe can open up a few things of what do we have to tolerate as devotees. I was thinking, shall I make that interactive? You know, ask what are the certain things in ISKCON one has to tolerate? But then I thought, whoa, that's opening a whole can of worms. I'm not going to make that interactive. And how to overcome tolerance. So I'll talk a little about intelligence and higher taste. And then just to keep going through and keeping Krishna in the vision, in our vision. And a few examples from the Bhagavatam and devotees. And then, let's see, maybe a surprise at the end. So material world is not a good place. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, this place is not fit for a gentleman. We may think it's okay. Yeah, like UK, it's okay. It's okay, you know, it's UK. It's all right. If you don't think the material world's bad, if you don't think the material world is bad, it's probably got some good karma. You know, people probably treat you nicely. You've got some wealth, got some beauty, and everything seems to go well. But generally, material world, it's not a nice place, and we should have. I'm sure many of us have had experiences. The whole world is also described as a place like sweet rice. You can't enjoy it properly because there's salt, some nimak. There's some salt in the sweet rice. So we do sort of still take it, but there's always this back taste. And that's the material world. And no one wants to be in the material world in the sense of a place of suffering, but suffering is inevitable. You may try very hard not to go through suffering. Sometimes I think I've worked it all out. I've pleased the devotees. I've kept up to date with my services. I've kept my mom and dad happy. I've done certain things. And then still some other problem comes up. Some Namahata member's not happy, or you said something funny, or just something's always a problem. So it's explained that this material world is like a burning fire. That's why we sing in the morning these prayers that the spiritual master is extinguishing this forest fire. Just as bamboos are in the fire, and then when the wind blows, what happens? The bamboo creates friction. And like that, fire is inevitable. No one wants it. So there is happiness, so-called, in the material world, but it comes in drops. It comes in very small drops, pathetic, lame. We have mind, tongue, belly, and below. And that's the way we sometimes squeeze the happiness in this material world. It's what we have access to. We have access to our body. We have access to a mind. And then we try to squeeze something out from that. But if you actually do the calculations, the input and the output don't match up. So you can probably spend £100 in half hour. Most people don't earn £100 in an hour. So the input and the output, so anything in the material world, whatever type of pleasure you want. And occasionally, once you may get surprised. You know, you buy a pound lottery ticket and you get a lot more out. That's very rare. They're very rare. The whole material world is designed for misery. Then you get these examples from Canto 5 about the material world. And it says it very plain. Some people try to avoid speaking this in class. It's very heavy. But it's very clear. Very, very clear. The material world is a dangerous place. Gives examples of taking the shelter of so-called sadhus, or not real sadhus, like taking shelter of what is it, like jackals or herons. But when the lion comes of death, you won't be saved. We take shelter of other things like friends. I'm not talking about devotees' friends, I'm talking about in the material world. That's like diving into shallow waters and cracking your head. That's Bhagavatam. This is Bhagavatam. And anyhow, I forgot. I know the whole list. But it's a place of misery. Sometimes we do get some pleasure in the material world, apart from Krishna consciousness. But that pleasure is also detrimental. It's like the camel chewing on thorns. Yeah, camel chews on thorns, cuts its mouth open, blood starts trickling down the throat. Some pleasure is there. So same way when we serve ungrateful masters, we think that we're getting some pleasure. When we try to serve the needs of our mind, tongue, and so forth, it's actually our own misery. It's like an itch. So anyway, a little bit of a picture of the material world. There are some positives, but generally, I mean, Krishna himself says, what is it? Dukkhalyam? I'm learning Sanskrit. So it's temporary and misery. Once someone said to Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj that, you know, you painted this whole picture of this relationships in the world and stuff, but my mum and dad have been together, university students are there, for 40 years, and they're happy. Everything's going well for them. You're just, you know, pessimist. And then Jayadvaita Maharaj says, okay, so they are having a good time. But then one of them will die, And then all that so-called good time and everything, it was just a memory. And when the memory fades, it's gone. So it's actually a very cruel world. So even if you don't think the material world is that great, or you think it is great, it's temporary. I went to a funeral lately with Shruti Dharma Prabhu and Pranabandha Prabhu, and it just dawned on me. I'm just seeing everybody like crying, and it was upsetting watching it. But it was, I thought, wow, what a pathetic situation! What a evil of this world! And it's all taken away, the interactions, the loving relationships, the cuddles, you know, and it's all just taken away, and that's it. You don't know where it's gone. You don't know where the father's gone. You know, it's a cruel place. And if I had more time, I'd talk to you about Saudan. So when I go to my mum and dad's, I honestly, I'm not into like, I don't do much sense gratification, but when I sit down with my parents, we try to put something that's common. Either we put some Krishna conscious thing on, or if we do put something on, I'd say, then let's put some like something real, something that I can learn from, see how bad the material were. It's like Indian Crime Watch. It's called Saudan, and it's very good. So that you really, when if you watch a few of those, you really get an idea how bad the material world is. I thought crime was bad in England. In India, something else. There it's like you have the maid servant kidnapping your son, selling off his organs. There you have the misery of the material world of an auntie cutting her niece's tongue off and then making her into a sage moni. So there's one story of this that happened. And then she kept the girl quiet and told the whole village that she's a very religious person. And she just kept her quiet, smiling there. And actually she was just running, you know, ruling over her, exploiting her. Anyway, there's a whole thing. So anyway, that's the picture of the material world. It's not so nice. But we may go through difficulties as devotees, even though we're trying to get out, even though we're doing everything nicely, we're chanting, we're rising early, we don't even hurt flies, we're just doing everything so nicely, and yet we also will get the misery, the threefold miseries from the mind, from the demigods, and what's the other one? Living entities. So we will also, but this is to help us grow. There's a story of the butterfly. Butterfly is coming out of the cocoon. Caterpillar went into, makes itself a cocoon, and the butterfly is coming out. And then what a little kid did was see that the butterfly is struggling and cuts the cocoon. And when the butterfly comes out, it goes, "Nee-tch." So it's a very good example, I think, that the butterfly had to go through its struggle to become what it's to be able to fly. And same way for ourselves, we do need to go through whatever we're going through, and we should see Krishna's hand in everything. Krishna can, if he wants, just flick his fingers and give us bliss, ananda. I remember when I first came to the Namahata programs in Leeds a few years ago, I would just chant a little bit and I would get so much bliss. I would just do a little bit of service. I would just move one framed picture and put it on the table. And the Mataji was like, yeah, do it, do it. I was like, yeah, me. And I was like, whoa, yeah, I did it. And Krishna is giving. But Krishna, he knows the mentality of a cheetah. And that's the whole reason why we came to the material world. So he knows that if I keep giving him easy dosage too quick, then you're going to rely on that, and you're not going to push yourself. So that reminds me then of commission structures, because I used to work in, I used to sell insurances and loans and stuff. And the way these commissions are made is, okay, how can I put it? Say if you have £100 per each sale. So every loan I'd sell, I'd get £100. Now, if it was simple as if you sell three, then you get £300. And if you sell 10, you get £1,000, so £100 each. So that you'd be very happy, even if you just, got, someone says when you're having a lazy month, you've got enough money, not a problem, then you may just get seven sales and sort of relax the rest of the day and then just get £700. But the way these commission structures are built, you don't get anything for the first 15. But then after 15, you can get £150 per each sale. So this is Krishna. At first he may give a certain amount, but then he's not going to. He knows that if you're putting in 80% energy every time, he's not going to give you the 80% back. In one, it says Krishna does surrender accordingly. If you surrender, he rewards you accordingly. But that doesn't mean according to your calculation. If he sees that you need to make an extra push, he'll give you zero. Therefore, if you don't make the full efforts in Krishna consciousness, Krishna may just hold back everything, because he doesn't want you to settle for less. And it can be a bit of a push, this material world. But you learn like that. I remember when my dad used to take me to swimming. I was only a little kid. My dad was very ambitious. He was like, I didn't make it, but you are going to make it. I was like, okay. And I'm only child, so all the pressure was there, like a lot of pressure. And that was same with bike. I was only probably about 2, and my dad wanted me to ride bike without stabilizers. He's like, I remember he put the stabilizers on, and I only had the stabilizers on for like 2 weeks, and they started taking them off. And then swimming, he'd put one rubber band here, another one. And before I started swimming a little bit, take one off and just start. And I was just swimming with one rubber band. But it's because my dad wanted me to learn. It was a struggle. I cried and everything. But I can swim. I can swim. I can swim. Thanks to my dad. I can ride a bike. So Krishna is the same, that he also wants us to go back to the spiritual world. And what are we? We're all like diamonds. We're all spirit souls like diamonds. But the gap to go to the spiritual world is also the size of a diamond. Your other stuff can't go with it. So it's like a lot of like gunk on the diamond. Yeah, a lot of stone and gunk. So Krishna won't just let you just go through just like that. The Krishna may sometimes smash you. Sometimes you may gradually, every day you're just niggling little things. You have to just tolerate and you have to just chip off. You have to take a little bit of your false ego off. So it's like those toys that you have where the square and the triangle, and you can fit the square in the square hole and the triangle in the triangle hole. If you can't fit the square in the triangle hole, it's not going to happen. So like that, Krishna wants us to change, he wants us to reform. And that may involve us having to do something more special. Once my spiritual master said, this was in Vyas Puja in front of everyone, so anyway, I can say it now as well. He goes, Guru Das should do something special. Says that, and I was like, oh yeah, go for it, you know. Because he is specially attracted to Maya. So Krishna arranges like that, detach, and as much as you get detached, you got to get attached. You cannot detach yourself. Yeah, I've spoke about this. I do have some thoughts or realization on this point. That's why I normally come up with the same thing, is just this point that you are going to take your certain quota of what you think is going to make you happy. Whether you take it from here, whether you take it from Krishna consciousness, whether you take it from outside, you are going to take. We all have needs. We all have... we're eternal, full of bliss, full of knowledge, and we're going to find our bliss somewhere. And if we find it in a contaminated way, so this situation is either way you will have to bow down. Once me and a devotee a few years ago before I came to live here, we came here and there was Prabhupada Guru Puja going on. And during Prabhupada's Guru Puja, there was one old Indian gentleman and his son came. But he didn't bow down, he just did like this little like Chinese bow, like that. But his son did full dandavats. And then the father walked back and he tripped over his own son. And then he landed like flat. But he landed full dandavat. So either way, you have to bow down. I saw it and it was very, learned something from this. So we have to learn easy way or the hard way. And the Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda ki, Sita Ram Lakshma Hanuman ki, Shishi Gaur Nitai Bhagwan ki. I thought this was a very interesting quote I found on Facebook. You can be my Facebook friend if anyone wants to. Says that this is very interesting. I think you find it that the teacher is quiet during testing times. So when you're having a test and you think, where is God when I need him now, and you can't hear him, that we should know that God is quiet right now. During a test, the teacher is quiet. Well, that was interesting. So we actually have a lot more capability than we think. One man is walking past, and there's another man with lots of elephants walking. And he notices this man has just got all of these elephants, and he's controlling all of them just with a very little bit of thin rope, very thin. And he's thinking, how is he controlling all these elephants? And then he said to the elephant trainer, how are you doing this? And he says that actually the elephants can just run away and break this rope, no problem. But when they were young, I put this rope on them. And since then, they're convinced that this rope is enough to bind them. And they don't think that they're capable to break it. So we also can be like that. When we first come to Krishna consciousness, there's certain things we can't do. Oh, I can't lead a kirtan. I can't do a class. I can't distribute books. No, I can't be in charge. I can't do whatever. And so we have also put certain restraints on ourselves. But we will be forced. Either you do it voluntarily or involuntary, but Krishna wants us back, and wants us back means it will be through service. So our challenge is either we can try to swerve it, but either way the price is still the same for Krishna consciousness, which is 100%. So either you go, if you've got to buy a £1,000 product, either you pay now, you pay later, but either way you've got to pay up. So we've come to a situation where we've been arrested by Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. We can try avoid getting into that car, that police car, make a big hoo-ha. By the way, you're arrested, you're getting in. So might as well try to see all of this as a learning curve and tolerate what we have to tolerate. I'll just write a few things. So what do devotees have to tolerate? So what do brahmacharis tolerate? Mind, lack of independence, locker space, lack of possessions. Yeah, I was going to talk a bit about that, but time is going, so that's fine. We can think about that. Grahasthas, what do they tolerate? They tolerate each other, the partners. Yeah, I heard the ladies always want them. They've got this idea that the man's going to change when they get married. He's like that right now, but we'll soon sort that out. And then they'll find after years, no, he's the same. If he's a slobbish, then he's going to remain slobbish. And generally, and then, yeah. And then the man thinks that the lady's going to stay the same. Yeah. He has to tolerate this, that she actually changes. Jay Krishna Prabhu was telling me one play they did back in the day. And she was a really sweet lady, I'll do your laundry, I'll do this and that. And then when they get married, she takes her veil off and she's like a monster. Jay Krishna told me. But anyway, I'm not. It's funny. Then we have to tolerate children, tolerate each other, tolerate money problems. Yeah. I heard there was one grihastha devotee, and she's got children, and he is the one bringing the money in. And he promised her that I will bring the money in. And now he's lost his job. And it's not so easy nowadays with economics and stuff. Anyway, so that's that. So how can we overcome all these problems? How can we tolerate? One is through intelligence, and one is through higher taste. We have to see things from a higher perspective. Sometimes the problems can seem very big. Like this building may look very big. But then if you go up in a plane, it's a small little dot. Yeah? When you see things with these big problems from a higher perspective, you see that it's actually it's very small. Also, it's relative, the so-called pain you're going through. Quick story. One man was on his way to the best job ever, had his job interview. This was in America. And then what happened is the car tire went flat and he missed his interview. And that was the job he was looking for. And what was that day? 9/11. Yeah? So you may see that, oh no, the tire's gone flat, it was my best job, but then his life was saved. Something like that. Everything's relative in the material world. Yeah, it's like relatives. I want you to do this. Do clockwise. Someone did this before, you may remember. It's kind of, so do clockwise below. Like clockwise, and then keep bringing it up, and then look at it from above, from below, and then you'll see it's anti-clockwise now. Yes, it is. Okay. Yeah, so it just depends how you look at things, but so intelligence, it takes a little bit of intelligence to see what you're going through. But intelligence is not enough. My spiritual master says that intelligence is like the safety net. One should develop higher taste in Krishna consciousness. And when one falls from the higher taste, and then it still has the safety net, intelligence. But intelligence alone won't be enough. And higher taste alone won't also be enough as well. Some intelligence needs to be there. If it's just sentimental, oh, this feels good. And then when Susie comes along, then oh, this feels good now. So there's higher taste and both. Higher taste and intelligence both needed. I'm running short of time, but let me just run through a few things really quick. So, yeah, okay, going through the list, I think there's a few points here, but I won't go into detail. So, Dhruva Maharaj, he wanted the whole kingdom. Yeah, we're worried about our little things, what we want in life. He wanted a kingdom bigger than his great grandfather, Brahma. But then when he saw Krishna face to face, he was like, I was actually just asking for broken glass. This is just like broken glass. May look like a diamond and shine, yeah. But when we have Krishna, it's a higher taste where we can see this. What have I wrote? I'll just read this here. One drop is worth millions of oceans of material wealth. Yeah, one drop of nectar. Sometimes we get that feeling. Sometimes it happens now and again. May happen once every 3 years. I don't know what devotees go through, but sometimes you get this real strong feeling that this happiness, even if you had everything in the world. It doesn't mean anything. And the higher taste does come if you keep going through. Spiritual master gave me an example once. I wrote to him and asked him some questions on chanting. And he says that everything will happen in due course of time. Right now, there is a wall of false ego and misconception. But by chanting the holy names, a couple of the bricks will go missing. And when these bricks go missing, you'll get a glimpse of the spiritual world. You won't see the whole spiritual world, but you'll get a glimpse. And occasionally, when Krishna desires, you'll able to lift yourself higher than even the wall. And you'll able to see everything, but then you will come back down. Keep going, keep chanting, this wall will disappear. And the spiritual world's so nice. There's a new color in the spiritual world presented for Srimati Radharani and Krishna's pleasure. A new color. Not a new shade, like new lilac color or turquoise. A new color is presented. Srimati Radharani is cooking a different meal every time for the Lord. Here in the material world, it's so lame and stagnant what we're actually dealing with. Our rasa goes from A to B. And if you really push it, you may get to C. Take some good drugs, you go to D. And that's about it. Yeah? But spiritual world is A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Going all the way to Z, 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 A, Z, Z, B, Z, 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 D. And it's like that. It's growing up. Okay. So I've painted another picture of higher taste. Now I just want to keep a little few encouraging little things to just keep going. I heard Winston Churchill wasn't the best of mans, but he said this nice thing. He says, if you're going through hell, keep going. Well, that was good. I've got so much to say, actually, now. So anyway, just one point I wanted to make is there's this one prayer and it says, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago, Gora Chanda Bole. And in there, it's very interesting what Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. He says, early in the morning, we are chanting and praying. Early in the morning, we are chanting and praying while you materialists are sleeping. But even when you materialists wake up, all you do is decorate your dead bodies. That's quite heavy. You know? It's like, so I was thinking for ourselves, we may not put too much effort on body, but we may be putting too much effort on mind. Babu, I'm sorry, I don't feel like it. I can only do this. No, this. Our mind and decorating our mind. But this is also an inferior energy. And by serving the Lord, what happens is we can break through the barrier of the mind. Most of the calculations the mind make are actually incorrect. Most of all of the calculations are incorrect. For example, if you do chanting four rounds, and you're finding it difficult, then the mind thinks, oh no, I've got to do another four of these, or another three lots of this. But it doesn't actually work out. Because by the time you get to the eighth round, the ninth round, then you start, you build up momentum, spontaneity. You start actually experiencing bliss, and then your chanting also goes faster. So the way the mind is designed, it will, because we haven't got something else that is more prominent, therefore the mind will be loud. Most of the time where you're becoming a servant of the mind, because you're not serving something higher. Once my spiritual master said to me while traveling that the mind is like background noise. And that's interesting that in silence, then you'll hear the background noise. If we're all just quiet, hear a little few things. But we don't notice that generally when the class is going on. We may not notice all the background noise. We're just listening to the class. So the real reason why we're taking the mind so seriously is because you haven't got much going on. Either you've not got much going on in your life or you've not got much going on at that moment. But Krishna consciousness is about putting aside the mind and going for a higher goal. And you can actually turn around Maya in 1 hour. It can be done. Srila Prabhupada says, sit down tightly. In one of his letters, it says, sit down tightly and chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra loudly until your mind and the holy name become one. For 1 hour you can actually turn everything around. Never make decisions before you've done your rounds. Yeah, they say like don't go shopping on an empty stomach. The same way, and if you feel that you're still disturbed, then chant more Hare Krishna. This Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is a solution to all of our problems. So keep going. I think we've got any other. And we are in catch 22, a catch 22 situation, that because we, Bhagavata Shraya Prabhu mentioned this once in Garuda Prabhu's class, and it was a very good point. And this point I find very interesting, that the catch 22 situation is, because we haven't got full taste, we don't take on Krishna consciousness properly. We may gossip. And then when you're in a devotee community, then it's just apradh. But it happens. We may, what's he like? What's he doing? And like that. And then the catch 22 situation is, because of your lack of taste, you go for prajalpa. But then because of prajalpa and offenses, you create more lack of taste. It's a very catch 22 situation. It's like we're trying to clean the floor with a dirty mop. So this Krishna conscious process is about keep going, but also refine. Try to do things in a nice manner. Try to get the blessings of the Vaishnava, the spiritual master. There's certain things we don't have to tolerate as well. So I talked a lot about tolerating. There's times where you do not tolerate. When, for example, if a Vaishnava is being offended. There's one nice devotee in Scotland, Raghunath Bhatta. He won the Excellence Award in ISKCON for just doing so much nice service. And he's so humble. And such a wonderful devotee. And I heard once on book distribution, someone hit Chaitanya Vallabh Prabhu. And Chaitanya Vallabh Prabhu was slightly bleeding. And Raghunath Bhatta just couldn't contain himself. He goes, "You made him bleed!" And he punched him and knocked him out. Yeah? So tolerating, we shouldn't tolerate. So, obviously, when devotees are being offended, and things as such. Now, the question may come is, what things should you tolerate and what you shouldn't tolerate? Maybe there's things, if you keep tolerating, you won't be able to carry on in your Krishna conscious. On the other hand, if you don't tolerate it, the same problem's going to hit you in your face soon again anyway. So you may avoid it now, and then that same problem's going to come again. And then you may avoid it then, but until you've overcome. So when to tolerate, when not to tolerate, this is where devotee interaction comes in. Talking to the spiritual master, talking to the Vaishnavas, sharing what you're going through. If you think you can do this on your own, you're in la-la land. There was once a man walking and in a forest, and it said there no hunting, but he was hunting anyway. And then he hit a fox. And he's just about to go up to the fox. And then the king walks along. And when the king walks along, the king then, he sees the king and he gets scared. Oh no, I broke the law here, you know, which is no hunting. He quickly grabs the fox. It was like half alive. And he just put the fox in his coat and shut his coat. Put the zip up. And then the king said, "Hey, how are you doing?" And then the king spoke to him. You know, and they had talked about the weather, had some light conversation. He goes, "Thank you." And the king walked off. And then he undid his coat and his body fell apart. The fox had eaten him up. I think this is one of Srila Prabhupada's stories. Very, very direct, very straight to the point. If you keep things in, then you'll also get eaten up. So this is where the Vaishnavas will help you. Spiritual master will sometimes tell you to tolerate, and sometimes they'll also tell you that, okay, let's try something else. Okay, examples of great devotees tolerating. So we have Vasudev and Devaki on their marriage night. That went horribly wrong. Kids killed. And even when the Lord was present, the Lord also then disappeared. So we can learn that how much, and Vasudev and Devaki, they knew when was the, Vasudev knew the right time when to tolerate and when not to. He kept his promise, but he said, I'll hand in all my sons. But Krishna, he didn't. And he walked out. Okay, so it'll just be 2 minutes now. So our goal is Krishna. He's the Supreme Lord. He's the best person ever. And we should be able to tolerate a few things for him and keep going, spread this Krishna conscious movement, give your life. Your life's not that long. In Kali Yuga, your life's not that long. And your mind, body, and words. You may not take sannyas, like Srila Prabhupada here is carrying a danda, and it said mind, body, and words. So we also can dedicate our mind, body, and words to the Supreme Lord. And there's nothing else really going on in the material world. You can check it out, try it out, there isn't much going on. The best it will get is you go to Las Vegas or Bahamas or something, or you have some so-called loving relationship with someone, and ultimately when one of them dies, then it'll all dawn on you that, well, that was a waste of time. So Krishna is our goal, and he has some very nice names. I just wanted to read some of Krishna's names. Vishwakarma, control of the universe. Not a blade of grass moves without his direction. He is Vidvan, most wise. So he knows what's best for you. He is Priyakara, most affectionate. He is Binragala, he breaks locks and bolts. This is in the pastime of Vasudev, but that's one of his names. So he can also break all our things that are locking us down. He is Yamuna Jalabadana. He parted the Yamuna's waters, so he can also part away all our problems. He is Dayanidhi, ocean of mercy. He is Hari, he takes away all that is inauspicious. He is Sarvasundar, supremely handsome. Yeah, everyone's after someone beautiful. Well, there you go. And he is Koti Kandarpa Lavanya, more handsome than millions of Kamadevs. He is Kubja Rupa Prada. He made Kubja beautiful. So it can make you beautiful on the same time. Priyankara, he's friendly and affectionate. He's Bhakta Vatsala, loves his devotees. He's Koti Sangara Sambira. Sorry. Koti Sagar Gambirya, deeper than millions of oceans. It's nice to speak to someone who's deep. And here is very deep. Deeper than millions of oceans. Namocha Ravasa, he becomes submissive to those who chant his name. He is Udaradi, generous at heart. He is Bayapaha, removes the devotee's fears. And it is Pratijana Palaka, he keeps his promise. So we've got a wonderful Lord. Shri Krishna Bhagwan Ki. So thank you very much. We'll finish there. Shishi Radha Gokula Nandaki, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki, Shishi Gornita Bhagwan Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Nita Go Premanande.